We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And football is around the corner. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving all users a no-brainer to start the season. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. So even if Kansas City were to lose by 100 points, you still win. This is only with DraftKings Sportsbook. That is a no-brainer. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN to take advantage of this no-brainer of an offer. That's promo code KSN. Get in on all of the action for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. We just completed the Ask Greg segment of our show, and I am going to remember today to announce our winner. And our winner is Matt from Harper's Ferry. And Matt wins because Matt asked the question for what we are going to address in this segment, which is, his question was, any idea how the NCAA will navigate freezing every player's eligibility while still accepting new recruits? To understand the ruling, a couple weeks ago, the NCAA came out and said this is such an odd season. They're not going to count this year against the player's eligibility, where they always had 5 years to play four. They will now have 6 years to play five. But what they didn't do was explain what they are going to do going forward as far as the 85-man scholarship limit. They have to do something about that, right, Greg? But they haven't announced anything, correct?
Yep, that is right on the money, Jim. So I think at this point what we've seen is pretty much what Penn State Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics, Sandy Barber, said was going to happen, which is that they might not have all the details about this stuff until the middle of September. And so we know now that the kids can have 12 hours together with the coaches that aren't playing this fall. We know that they were going to provide a scholarship to anyone impacted by losing a fall sports season, but we don't know how they're going to reconcile that with both incoming recruits and also the 85-man scholarship limit that's currently in place. So it's pretty messy right now, Jim. We don't have any answers. I think the problem is if you raise it for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, the 85-man limit, you have to do it for everybody else. And, you know, that could create some unfair advantages in and of itself. But, you know, I don't know if there's going to be necessarily a fair way to do this or a way to do it that's equal and all of that. So I think you're just going to have to live with whatever decision is made. And at this point, to me, if you're going to extend that eligibility, then you also have to extend the 85-man limit. There's just no way around it. So we'll see when that decision is finally made. But I would expect that that's going to be the case.
I believe it will, and they absolutely have to do it across the board. They can't just do it for the Big Ten and Pac-12, and I think that was the ruling. It's for everybody. I believe that next season it's fairly easy to do. You have how many players who are seniors this year or in their final year of eligibility might come back next year, and you just give that many more scholarships. That's the way I think it would go. So, for example, Penn State has a total of 8 seniors this year. I don't believe you're going to get all 8 of them coming back. Of course, some might go NFL. Some might just say, all right, I'm done with college. I've graduated. I'm ready to move on. So let's say 5 of them decide to come back and use that extra year of eligibility. Well, it would be very easy to say, let's raise Penn State's scholarship limit to 90. If Ohio State has 3 of those players, let's raise it to 88 for them. That would seem pretty straightforward. What happens after that and some of those repercussions? And I know there's some attrition going to happen, but looking at Penn State's roster, if my count is correct, next season there will be 20 players who would have normally had senior eligibility but are going to get another year. Are you going to have situations where you're going to have to do this math every year for the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. You know, Jim, I think that's a really – are you still there, Jim?
Yep, yep, I got you.
All right.
I know I sort of cut short my question, but I realized, well, I think I'm finished with the question.
Yeah, so that's the wonders of remote recording, right? I can't just see you end your question in person. That's okay. Yeah, you know, I think that is the biggest issue here. And what we heard James Franklin talk about in terms of unintended consequences of some of these things, Jim, is that unfortunately, once you make a decision like this for one class or one season, it's not contained just to that one group, or in all likelihood, it's not going to be. So you're going to have to stretch this out further down the road. And I think it almost has to be for 5 years to account for red shirts and things like that. So, you know, again, it's great to say, well, if you're not playing, we're going to give you an extra year of eligibility. That's wonderful. But I don't know if as many schools are going to be able to accommodate that as people want to think will be able to if they don't allow for a raising of the scholarship limits or a changing of the way it works. It's not just football. It's going to be a problem in other sports as well. So, you know, I know Sandy Barber said that, what, Jim, I think they had like 70, or I can't remember exactly how many spring sport athletes took them up on an extra year of eligibility. But that extra scholarship money and everything was covered by private donors. No guarantee you're going to get enough money for private donors to cover that again. So again, there's just so much to figure out here, a lot of questions, and still not as many answers as we would hope for.
Exactly. It will be a mess. Now, I congratulated the NCAA at the time because I thought it was the only fair solution to this.
Yeah.
But in being fair, these universities now are going to have to take on this financial responsibility going forward. So when you do this, and it could actually reach a point of ridiculous where this year's roster has 39 players with freshman eligibility when you account for the true freshman and the redshirt freshman. Now, if you say all 39 of them, their eligibility for this year, nothing counts against them, so they will all be freshman eligibility next year. Penn State already has 13 commits for next year. The thinking is they could have up to 20 or so. Bottom line is you may have 50 to 60 players next year with freshman eligibility,
right?
Which would just be crazy for them to work through years later, right?
Yeah, it would be almost impossible, in my opinion. I mean, I think that clearly the challenges would be, you know, again, how far out do you extend this? If you extend it once, how much further do you push it out? Is it 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? When does it end? And, you know, how do you handle it? Again, if one conference plays and one doesn't, does everyone get a redo? Is it just those that didn't play? And how will those schools feel about not having the same not having the same chance to sign more players the way a school that didn't play might? I just, when there's this many questions and this few answers, it really becomes a challenge for everybody, I think, to come up with an equitable and fair way of doing this that gives players the best chance to obviously go to college and be on the field and play the sport that they love and try and get to the next level. But also, you know, it's a challenge too, you know, it's a challenge too, because you have all this math that you've made work for so many years now. And because of what's going on and conferences doing different things, you don't have math that works all the way across the board. And that's what they're going to have to try and address. And it will not be an easy thing to do because there's just way too many differences between what's going on out there right now.
Let's look at some specific situations and try to figure out how this might affect different players and perhaps even the transfer portal. For example, Sean Clifford, we assumed, had two more years of eligibility, correct? This
yes.
year and next.
Yep.
And Will Levis had one more year after that. Now, this could be good or bad for Will Levis. If you're Sean Clifford, do you perhaps he now has 3 years of eligibility left.
Right.
And Will Levis has four. So what does Sean Clifford leave after what would have been his normal senior year? perhaps for an NFL career. And Will Levis now has two more years of eligibility. So it's not just that one and done for him. So, and there are so many of those situations at every position. How will it affect the backup player? Yeah, you're giving them the extra year of eligibility, but you're giving the guy in front of them that extra year also. So will players want to wait that extra year? How will that play out, Greg?
Yeah, it's a messy situation. Again, there's just no question about that. I think that when you look at what this is going to do to roster dynamics, clearly, yeah, we can't not talk about the idea that this is going to impact the numbers, but it's also going to impact players on the team. And will we see more transfer portaling? But will other schools have room to take guys, Jim? I mean, you know, again, I think sometimes we like to look at these things in a bubble and say, well, if X player has more eligibility than Y player might look to transfer, but where's he going to go? That's been the same conversation related to guys leaving Big Ten or Pac-12 schools to go play at a school that's going to play. Well, who has scholarships available at this point to allow that to be the case? I mean, it sounds great in theory, but in practice, it's not really practical. And so I just think that, you know, again, it's a lot easier said than done for all of this movement and stuff to happen that we think could happen. But you're right, at the same time and in the same breath, if you give guys who are already well-established more time to play, and if you're a guy like Sean Clifford who needs at least one more good season to try and make an NFL roster, and in all reality, probably two, then obviously it puts everyone behind him at that position in a pretty big bind at this point.
Yeah, these are those unintended consequences where there's no perfect answer. If you're going to be the most generous possibly you can be with the extra scholarships, you're going to put a financial burden on the universities. You would think that a school like Penn State and Ohio State could tolerate those extra costs fairly easily. But how about a school like Rutgers that is currently losing money every year in a good year, after going through a COVID season and then having to finance these extra scholarships? Doesn't look good. Then you look at individual players at different positions. I think it's going to be different decisions for different players. Some of them, hey, maybe one more year gives me an opportunity for a professional career. Maybe I'm already on the way out to start the rest of my off football career. So it will be interesting. It will be a mess for the next few years. Interesting to see. All right. That is it for our show. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to tune in next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes, or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com, and use code KSN at checkout. For week one of the football season, DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. Even if Kansas City loses by 100 points, you would still cash your bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.